This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt and Brett here today. You know, it's kind of one of those things, Brett, where I'm have to admit to a point I didn't think I'd be able to really talk a little bit about the fact that this is the fifth anniversary of the passing of Prince, which doesn't seem like it, but as someone mentioned today, we had 4 years of Trump, and you know he passed away in 2016 in April. At that time when we were kind of knee-deep in the political season and kind of, I think, having a hard time comprehending that indeed Trump was going to be the nominee. And then, of course, we had his nightmarish presidency. But, it was 5 years ago. Because his music is, you know, somewhat eternal. It's kind of it doesn't seem like that, but yeah, I remember that. I remember that god awful day. Were you here at that point? Were you here at the station at that point?
I was working here, but I do remember where I was. I was out of town streaming an event. I remember hearing about that news in the airport.
I was at the grocery store, and there was a woman at the not at the cash registers, but kind of at the service desk, who knew someone there, or just got the benevolence of an employee at the grocery store. And she was bawling, and she was like, "I was just listening to him. I was just listening to him." And I was thinking to myself, okay, who is this now? And yeah, by the time I got out to the car, I had pulled up the fact that it had been indeed Prince who had passed away. And I was stunned. I remember coming and doing the show that afternoon, and I was pretty much near in tears still as we played his music. Yeah, a once in a millennia talent. I mean, he was that amazingly talented. I remember the stories that he had on the first times he went out to L.A., to show the record company that he could do everything, that he could produce the songs and could play the songs and could play all the music. And they couldn't believe it. And he indeed did do that. And after like his second track and he synced the track and all that stuff, they said, "Oh yeah, you're going to be fine. You're going to be just fine." So, a lot of people heading out to Paisley Park. Interesting story, I think, was in the Star Tribune that was talking about how for a lot of people who lived out in the Chanhassen area, he was just kind of a neighbor. And he would bike around town, and he'd be, you know, you'd go to the grocery store. He'd be there sometimes. He'd be over at the coffee, getting a cup of coffee sometimes. You know, that's just kind of he was just part of a resident down there. So it wasn't too extraordinary to see him. Although I gotta admit, like going into a Caribou and seeing Prince must have been surreal.
You're waiting for your coffee order. Prince, you're up. Prince.
Okay, it's a coffee shop. It's Prance. I got a Prance.
Yeah, be Prance.
Who's Prance? Got your coffee. I always wonder, too, is like, did he go biking? Did he have the cheekless pants when he go biking?
Still one of the whatever guys. He was on, you know he was in a cool-looking bike.
Oh, you know he was. He was too much of a talent in one body. I mean, it just everything the guy did was just amazing. So 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Usually we have Jeff here, but today we actually have Cliff coming on in. We don't have a Cliff song, do we?
Well, I'll see what I can do in this next half hour.
Yeah, see if you can pull up a Cliff song. Cliff Schechter is actually going to join us at 4:30 here today. We usually have in the usual Jeff spot. I know that will make some people quite happy. We'll talk to him about the impact, because it's for Ohio. It's bittersweet you have this George Floyd, the ruling in the Derek Chauvin trial on the death of George Floyd. And, you know, in Minneapolis, we're exuberant and we're happy. We've got some level of accountability here. We have a glimmer of hope that we can actually change the system. In Ohio, they have that 15-year-old girl that was just shot basically at the same exact time as they were reading the verdict. And boy, the thing which is amazing is, once again, racist white social media is out. It's like, she had a knife. She was going to kill me. And people just saying, Kyle Rittenhouse. Okay, Kyle Rittenhouse shot three people, was running around with a gun. And did you hear the cops? Hey, buddy. Hey, you with the gun. Come on over here. Get out of the way. Apparently, someone's firing off rounds down there. Remember that, Kenosha? I remember that. So we'll talk to him about that. There is something just precious. Just precious. And I want to thank, this would be Sally Jo Sorensen over at Blue Stem Prairie. This is a Facebook post from Representative Skin Tag, Eric Mortensen. Now, a reminder, Eric Mortensen represents Shakopee. This is a loon ball who would, you know, he campaigned as, I'm not really this far right guy. You know, he did that kind of campaign. And of course, it's likely there was a fake candidate they ran in the pro pop party that cost Tabke his seat down there. And this guy is the guy they're stuck with. And he's a far right loon ball. I mean, he's not going to win again. I can already tell you right now, Shakopee's going to throw his butt out badly. He's going to lose that seat coming up here in the next election. He made a Facebook post in regards to the Chauvin trial verdict. And I want to read this to you, and I've got to put myself in the correct drama mode here. This is from Representative Eric Mortensen's Facebook page. It's got, first of all, two of those little flashing sirens. Breaking! Chauvin verdict is in! Two more of those little flashing things. The verdict will be read between 3:30 p.m. and 4 p.m. today. Actually, it was read at 4:06 yesterday because we were on the air live with that one. Going back to Mortensen's post here. Additionally, I'm hearing reports of dozens of buses coming to town with paid protesters that are bringing riot gear with them. Of course, we don't know if riders will come to Shakopee, but I encourage everyone to be prepared for the worst and pray for the best. Sweet Jesus.
Well, he might not be wrong about buses full of protesters. They just might be white supremacists.
Well, it would be like, you know, coming. Okay, where are these buses coming from? I mean, this is like when, Suchere was saying that was Sushi was talking about the buses roaming around St. Paul with voters and, you know, African Americans getting off, mysterious African Americans getting out at every polling pot with a carton of cigarettes as their payment for voting for a certain way. That was, remember that one, that allegation of buses running around? Where are these coming from, like Chicago? Because I can't believe, I mean, if you're going through rural Wisconsin and there are, I mean, there's got to be some way you can identify the fact that you know about, apparently, buses with rioters in them. I'm guessing it's just a bunch of guys dressed like stormtroopers from a Star Wars, you know, set, you know, just driving down the highway heading for Minneapolis. Where are they? They're not coming from, where would they? They'd be coming from Minneapolis, not to Minneapolis. You got to work on your story here. You know, that's the part of the problem. They got to work on their story. And then the idea that target number one in the metro area, Brett, target number one, Shakopee.
They got to go after Valley Fair, I guess.
Well, they've got the casinos down there. It's lovely down there. Very nice riverfront. Have you been down there? The parks down there. I've hiked most of those parks down that area. Just delightful. Oh, I mean, any rider would just dream of having a summer day down in Shakopee. It's delightful. Dude, that is some whistling dog right there. That's a whistling dog. I'm going to reread that again. Additionally, I'm hearing reports of dozens of buses coming to town with paid protesters. Who are you hearing this from? Who in the hell is telling you this? Is this a voice in your head? Who is telling you of dozens of buses coming to town with paid protesters are bringing riot gear with them? Of course, we don't know if the riders will come to Shakopee. No, they're not going to Shakopee.
If a group of rioters or protesters even showed up in Shakopee, it would look like a group of joggers. It wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. Is Renaissance Festival early this year? They just seem to change the theme. I encourage everyone to, and once again, everyone to prepare for the worst and pray for the best. Okay. That said, I heard said the head of Capitol Security is directing legislators to prepare for riots. Really? The head of Capitol Security is indeed basically directing legislators to prepare for riots. I'm going to go with a, I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the head of the Capitol Security is indeed directing legislators to prepare for riots. But I don't know if you're aware of this, but St. Paul's Capitol is nowhere near either the Hennepin County Government Center or 38th in Chicago in Minneapolis. They're kind of on the other side. Therefore, I am passing along a similar preparatory message to you all. This is not an exhaustive list, but a starting point to things to think about. So, Eric Mortensen, here you go. Here, a list of safety protocol from Representative Skintag, Eric Mortensen. 1, have a plan your entire family knows and is prepared to execute at a moment's notice.
In Shakopee.
Because there could be zombies. There's zombie rider protesters taking bus here or something. What do you think? They got nukes? Seriously.
Everybody go gather at the Applebee's if there's trouble.
I have been to barbecues in Shakopee where the guys, like said, dinner's ready. And that doesn't, you know, that's all you need to do is to execute people. Like, hey, we got the ribs are done. Off we go. 2, know both emergency and non-emergency phone numbers. He goes on to list the Shakopee non-police emergency number. And of course, 911 for emergencies. 3, recognize that police may be overwhelmed and unable to respond timely. God, Shakopee's gone to hell since Mortensen's taken over down there, hasn't it? Dear Lord. Is it like Walking Dead down there? That you're fighting for your life at the Aldi? I've got to get my Ukrainian mayonnaise.
Those are delicious, though.
Oh, yes. I mean, who knew? Who knew the Ukrainians could pull that one off? If you have evening activities planned for this week, consider how important they are and perhaps reschedule. Okay. Have a first aid kit, which is always, that's a good thing to have, just a piece to have that there. Keep your doors locked and consider keeping outdoor lights on overnight. If you have a security system, use it. Stay informed through real-time news outlets. Dude, you need to step back from the ledge. Seriously, your white world that you are living in is delusional beyond delusional. First of all, in case you missed it, because this was yesterday. In case you missed it, there weren't riots, although apparently there are busloads of rioters coming. Dozens of buses of rioters. Is that what the exact word was?
Yeah, dozens of buses.
Dozens of buses. Dozens. That were coming in. Dozens of buses. So we're going to, dozens would be 24, 36 at least. I have no idea where they went because, maybe they were going to Shakopee. But Shakopee's still standing. Do we have an update from Shakopee? Is Shakopee a burnt ash husk of itself at this point? Do we know?
I don't know. Yeah.
You'd think that would be leading the news at this point. Apparently not.
Like 36 buses of rioters down there.
36 buses. That's a lot of rioters. But none of them wanted to riot. There was eventually like a dance party down at 38th in Chicago at George Floyd Square. You know, there was, you know, there was a lot of people that downtown, there's bumper to bumper track. I was looking at Alex Kindle's Fox 9. She was doing some live coverage down there, and there was bumper to bumper cars, and everyone was waving and happy. So I don't see any rioters, not the dozens of buses that he was been told were coming to the Met. Who told you this? They were lying to you, and they sure weren't coming for Shakopee. Well, unless they're coming up from Mankato, are they? Are you sure they weren't hockey fans? Are you sure they weren't like a hockey team and their fans, Mankato State? Was there like a scrimmage game with Gophers and Mankato State last night? Did we miss that? That'd be a good game. Two quality programs. I mean, they'd bring the fans on up. Maybe that's what he's confused about. Were they purple and yellow? Because that's about Mankato State, right? Purple and yellow?
That's them.
Were they purple and yellow, right? Were they all matching and color coordinated? Did they have face paint on, which is purple? Well, that could be in it. Pray. Plan for the worst and pray for the best. Wow. I can't imagine the frenetic little ball of energy you have to be to think any of this is actually happening. That oh God. Hey, ouch, Ovid guilty. Hide. I can't comprehend the paranoia that must permeate every corner of your life at this point. I really can't. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. When we come on back, I do want to get into we'll get into two developments with the Chauvin jury and the trial there and just some developments there, as well as also Cliff Schechter joining us at 4:30 today. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. It's going to be kind of right tonight. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I want to get into two things here. First of all, that we had Jack Rice on a few times, and he talked about the aggravated circumstances. Did you remember them? I don't know if you heard Jax mention that a few times. He said that they could come back because, you know, we were talking about this in regards to just the second degree manslaughter charge, which was a 48-month charge. And the argument was if that was the only charge that Chauvin was convicted of, they might come back and argue it was aggravated. Well, they're probably still going to argue aggravated circumstances. And Mary Moriarty, who used to be with the city and she's now a public defender, she brought up some of the points here. She said this would be causes for aggravated, you know, circumstances, which would extend out that sentencing. One being in the presence of minors, which there were young children there too. George Floyd was particularly vulnerable. He was handcuffed and his hands were behind his back. Chauvin inflicted particular cruelty on George Floyd, the position of authority being a cop, and the fact that Chauvin was one of three who are participating in that entire situation. So, those things could state. She goes, the state mentions under the particular cruelty factor that Chauvin inflicted pain on George Floyd and people were not allowed to help and had to watch him die. So that might actually get a much stiffer sentence for Chauvin. Rot in jail, you bastard. Now, that being said, former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin spent his first night in prison since his conviction for murdering Floyd, segregated from the other inmates, the Minnesota Department of Corrections spokeswoman said on Wednesday. Chauvin, found guilty on Tuesday in connection with Floyd's death on May 25th, is being housed under administrative segregation status for the fired Minneapolis police officer's own safety while being held at Oak Park Heights Prison until sentencing in June, said agency spokeswoman Sarah Fitzgerald. He is residing in the administrative control unit, the state's most secure unit. Administrative segregation is used when someone's presence in the general population is a safety concern. Jurors in Hennepin County. So he's already getting beneficial treatment. He's getting beneficial treatment in prison, which, and I can understand you can be concerned, but this is, would you be offering this if it was someone else? I don't know. And so that's going on. I have the question, a reminder of that when he was initially being held, they were prevented certain prison guards from being able to to monitor him. You remember that? That was the African-American guards were being prevented from singing. I'm presuming that you fixed that problem, that you are going to not have a racist standard in regard to who can guard Derek Chauvin. But, you know, if this is, if I will go with what you say. I want to see this guy sentenced. I want to see this guy thrown away, thrown into jail and the key thrown out. That, and so if that means we have to get him to sentencing in June, so be it. That being said, I will be honest with you. I personally don't think you should be giving him such advantages, you know, because he sure didn't give George Floyd those kind of advantages. And by the way, one other thing here I didn't want to make sure I mentioned. Keith Ellison isn't ruling out the possibility of plea deals with the other three officers charged in George Floyd's death. Ellison, whose office prosecuted Derek Chauvin, is prosecuting the former officers Kuing, Lane, and Tao. Madison asked, this was on the SiriusXM Joe Madison show. Madison asked Ellison if it's too late for other officers to cut a deal before the trial begins in August. It's possible, but that's stuff that I wouldn't be able to discuss publicly. Ellison also said his office is working on the sentencing recommendations they'll make to Hennepin County Judge Peter Cahill for Chauvin in the wake of Tuesday's conviction. That is something I probably should not talk about because it's prospective, but I think everyone can count on us recommending a sentence that is in line with the 9-minute and 29-second slow death of George Floyd. Chauvin's sentence is expected to happen in June, at which point the judge will weigh aggressive factors in the case, which we mentioned with Mary Moriarty in her tweet from earlier today. The second-degree murder conviction of Minnesota carries a maximum penalty of up to 40 years in prison, but state sentencing guidelines call for presumptive prison terms starting at 12.5 years for someone with no criminal history. So that's, you'll have to see what happens there, but I think you can kind of lock him up and throw away the key. But I don't want a situation where, okay, part of the problem that we have here, and I made this point this morning on social media, there are a lot of great people who are police officers. There are a lot of great people. The culture that has to be changed is stop the systemic racism, stop the racist racial profiling that's clearly going on. When an officer sees someone like Chauvin doing something like that, you have to give that person the ability to yank him, Chauvin, off of George Floyd and say, for God's sakes, you're going to kill him. You have to give that person there, even if they're a rookie and that's their trainer, you have to give them the ability to pull them off. Because I think that's part of the problem, too. I think in both of these cases, in the Dante Wright shooting and in George Floyd, the case was the people that committed the crime were the trainers. And so, and obviously the police were looking at what was going on with Dante Wright as is Kim Potter shot him. But it would have been nice if maybe one of the officers looked over at Kim Potter and said, hey, you got your gun out, not your taser. You're yelling taser, taser, taser. That's not the taser. So it will be interesting to see if we can get past that level as well. The fact that an officer on the scene can grab another officer and throw them aside. And frankly, this, what is more important, police? Is it the law? Is it the law? Or is it other police officers? And now is the time for you guys to actually have that discussion. Because when you have a cop like Chauvin, who's guilty as hell and doesn't deserve your loyalty because he's besmirching every cop when he did what he did, you have to have the ability to say, that was wrong. Don't just do that blind, I stand by the blue. Well, then you basically are acknowledging in your own tone that that was appropriate, that what happened to George Floyd, and we all know that wasn't the case. So, the reality is that we need to change the way policing is done. And part of that is, yes, there are good people who are cops, but that does require you to basically be a good cop. And what that means is no racial profiling, no different standards if they're black. If you see a cop trying to kill someone, yanking that cop, the cop has become the criminal at that point, and stopping them at all costs. And when a cop does something that's clearly wrong, having the guts, the spine to call that out, that's the world that needs to happen. And that will be a big, big step in the right direction if we want to start seeing justice that is indeed fair across the board. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Cliff Schechter, when we do return, it is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Jeff Stein usually does join us at this point during the show, but unfortunately he's not available today. But I think you're going to be a lot happier. Cliff Schechter is kind enough to join us. Of course, Unprecedented is the podcast he does. It's exceptional. You need to subscribe to that. And of course, Blue Am Strategies helps you with your messaging, whether it's a campaign or other business venture. And Cliff is kind enough to take some time today to talk to us about the issues of the day. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, man. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. What happened to your Yankees, man?
What happened to them? I mean, it looks like they got hit by a bus.
Yeah, the Twins are not too far behind at this point. I'll say that.
Like, you know, I mean, they played better last night, although, and they beat the Braves, you know, although still, like, there's a couple guys on the team. You may be familiar with one of them, a former guy on your team, Aaron Hicks.
Yeah.
They seem to have, like, just gone through a period of time where they literally forgot how to play baseball. Like, I don't know what happened, but all facets of the game. There's like three or four guys that were like stars at some point in the last couple of years. Clint Frazier, Gleyber Torres, who's, you know, was an all-star at the age of like 20, you know, a young guy, whatever, hit 38 home runs. And like, they're all hitting like one something. They either have a one home run or none, like a one RBI or none. They're like, they're making mistakes in the field or leading the league in errors. I mean, they looked a little better last night. You know, I don't know, but I could say a lot of things about how Brian Cashman constructed this team that make no sense to me. But you probably want me here to talk politics. I can talk baseball with you as long as you'd like.
Oh, yeah, you and I. Sano is well below the Mendoza line. Let's just put it that way. It's way below the Mendoza line. Our problem is our new shortstop, the Simmons. He didn't want to, he didn't want to get the COVID shot. He got coronavirus, and now we've got three of our players. I think they just announced another player went out. You know, Max Kepler is gone, Garlick is gone. So yeah,
if I were those other guys, I would be pissed. I gotta tell you that.
I would be too. I would be.
That's ridiculous. I honestly, I think the team should have made it. At some point, private businesses have the right to be like, you need to take care of your health, especially people who are investing that kind of money in a team. I don't know.
I think it should have been more of this. You know, you don't want to take the shot. That's fine. We support your decision. You're benched. And we're not going to have you in the clubhouse. You're not going to be in the dugout. You're going to, you know, you're going to, you know, for the safety of the team so that we don't lose five guys getting paid $5 million a year. We're going to have you basically sit in a press box by yourself.
Yeah. Well, and you're forfeiting your entire salary. I mean, you're not going to just get to sit around and, you know, you're right. If you want to give him a choice, then he does not have the right to be getting paid to do nothing, and he does not have the right to be infecting other people who've chosen to do the responsible thing. So
go
do whatever you want, and you know, hope you can pay the bills.
Before we get to the god-awful story out of Columbus, let's actually start with the verdict there. How shocked were you that, A, the jury went that quick, and, B, it was guilty, guilty, guilty across the board with Derek Chauvin?
Well, once it was guilty, 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 I wasn't shocked it was that quick. And I suspected it was when it did go that quickly, because usually, you know, to move that quickly, I thought so. But it was more a feeling of, you know, I thought he was going to be convicted, but I couldn't be sure. And that in and of itself is such an indictment of our system. I mean, this guy in broad daylight is murdering somebody. We have it caught on film. It's as obvious, you know, as, I don't know, pick your expression. Mm-hmm. Plain as the nose in your face. I don't know. I mean, and there was a legitimate chance he was not. I mean, all it would have taken is one white supremacist on that jury. And so that's what's ridiculous. And again, you know, I come at this from the background. I've talked to you about this before. I'm on the board of the Ohio Innocence Project. And the stories I've heard, you know, I could talk to you on this show for hours, predominantly African-American, but we've also have a couple of like, actually one or two white women also, and others who just you know, the witnesses were threatened, or their families were threatened to make up lies. You know, documents that would have exonerated them disappeared. So, I mean, when it comes to our criminal justice system, I wish I could say that anything fully surprises me anymore, but it's almost like the old thing about taking the red pill from the Matrix. Mm-hmm. You know, although I know the right wingers use that one, so I don't like using it. But basically, you know, I never thought our system was completely above board, but I never knew how truly bad it was till I started seeing the files on some of these guys that we helped exonerate, and how thin the evidence was, and how manufactured the evidence was, mm-hmm. To put them in prison. So again, like, the fact that, you know, that I was at all shocked that this guy was convicted of everything really says everything. It says it all, doesn't it?
He himself thought, I think he thought he was going to be off the hook. I mean, did he watch his eyes when he was convicted? I mean, he clearly, yeah. I think, was shocked that the jury came back and found him guilty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, you know, defund the police? No. Depending upon, you know, to me, that's a bad slogan. I don't think it gets at what we need to do. The whole system needs to be, though, torn out root and branch and completely, you know, we're not even talking about like slight reform here. Absolutely changed. It is a system that really, the entire culture of that system was built out of the country that we used to be, the one that we don't want to be, mm-hmm. the one that was perfectly happy if you were from an other group and somebody needed to solve something, your life wasn't worth as much. So too bad. And you know, and the power the prosecutors had, and there's a lot of these reforms, but I mean, we're talking, you know, I mean, I, again, it's one of those things I could go through stuff, but it would take forever, but there need to be the voices, you know, for the defense, even in the prosecution's office, it needs to everything about how we convict, how we run trials and how, how much power we put in the hands of police, particularly, and how we train them, needs to be absolutely changed. Sometime I should have the head of the Ohio Innocence Project. I should contact you and see if you want to talk to him about any of this stuff, Matt, because he's a former prosecutor in the famous Southern District of New York office, mm-hmm. helped train Preet Bharara, actually, and had like a pang of conscience, was like, you know, what are we doing here? Sometimes we're going after people and we're not even sure, and moved back home to Ohio and started the Innocence Project here, and is just, what he's done is incredible. You know, and so we know the stories from the other side, let's put it that way.
The one of the things which is so tragic about yesterday is, and by the way, I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, we have a long way to go. And I just mentioned before we took the break right before you came on the air, I said, when you get cops who have the guts to yank a Chauvin off of George Floyd and say, what the hell are you doing? When you have police who say, you know, yep. what, I'm for the law and justice more than I am for defending bad cops, which is not where we're at. And when you stop this ungodly racial profiling that's going on in this country, which is, I mean, we saw that with Dante Wright now in Brooklyn Center. It's kind of one of those things where those are the things you can accomplish those things. You're going to get a long way to fixing these police departments. Unfortunately, at the same time as George Floyd's verdict was being, Derek Chauvin's verdict was being read for murdering George Floyd, you have this case in Columbus, which is just yet another god-awful story.
The person who called the police and has it not, you know, and they don't stop to ask questions or figure it out. I mean, again, it reminds you that this is this system. You know, systems often are self-perpetuating. They're sort of, they're separate, right, from society. I would say that our general views and how we interact doesn't mean we don't have much to go, but in our society has changed since the 1950s, 60s, 70s. Police departments, for the most part, really have not, you know? And so even those that join them who are Black or are Latino or women are sort of, they're all indoctrinated into the same system. You know, whether they know it consciously or not, they are trained to see people out in the street. They're not looking at their role as peacemakers. And again, there's a lot of valiant exceptions to this. I don't want to make it sound like every cop is a bad cop. Yeah. But it's also not just a few bad apples either. It's somewhere in the middle of that. It's a system that takes people that, you know, where people join, some of them already are joining because they've got sociopathic tendencies, and others who join are completely, you know, maybe normal, decent people, but when they're put into that system, it's spat out, you know, and that's how you can see other cops. You can see a Black cop standing there watching a white cop they work with murder somebody for the crime of being Black. because it's been so indoctrinated. You know, I mean, geez, you ever seen the movie Serpico? That was like 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. How far have we come since then? Not very.
Well, and to back up that point, I mean, look how amazed we are that a handful of police officers from Minneapolis Police Department testified against Chauvin. And we act like, oh my gosh, I mean, Arredondo, the police chief here in Minneapolis, but as well the other police officers who were, you know, you could tell were somewhat begrudgingly there, but they laid it out. No, this was not in any training manual. This is not what he was supposed to do. And they threw him under the bus because when you can get to that point where that wall of blue, like I said, what's more important, law and order, justice, or just backing up police no matter how bad the crime is? And I think that once you can break that down, if we can get to that point, that's going to solve a lot right there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, what's our theory for why democracy, if done right, works? It's because, you know, people have a say. There's transparency. You don't just get to whatever your swift, you know, and perhaps terrible judgment is, to do whatever that is. You know, and let your personal biases, like, you know, you want to protect somebody who's a friend. Well, too bad, they did something awful. Or you want to hurt somebody who's an enemy. Well, you can get away with it. I mean, that's a totalitarian system. And the problem here is that some of our systems, again, even as we overall have evolved, and of course, don't get me wrong, we've seen a lot of problems in this country that have come to the fore over the last, you know, 4 years. So I'm not saying, you know, life's a party here. I'm just saying, as racial attitudes have generally gotten better and other attitudes towards people who are not like you, as we've come to be a more, you know, inclusive society. But, you know, we've seen some of that with some of the sexual assault that went on in the military, for example, right? Mm-hmm. These closed systems that aren't transparent, mm-hmm. that aren't open, you know, in the way that we're supposed to be, they keep operating the same way. It's the same old guys operating, and they are guys for the most part, white guys behind closed doors, in the same way they always did. And the difference is maybe they're more diverse now, but in almost an evil way, they're just bringing that diversity in, and then they're training them to behave the same way.
Well, and there is the natural problem with the police union, which is a very different union than pretty much every other union. And it's like if you have the plumbers union, you know, yeah. And if a plumber puts in pipes wrong, no plumber's going to come in there and tell you, well, you're wrong, I like what he did. No, he says, okay, let me get this fixed. They have no problem in saying, well, that wasn't right, let's fix this. Well, they're dealing with pipes, and they have the ability to go criticize the other guy that was a union member to do it. But yet police, when it comes to people being shot in the street, people being killed with a knee to the back of the neck, people being stopped because of a tabs expiration when there's tens of thousands of cars in Minnesota due to the pandemic with expired tabs, that is the, you know, there is this mentality that, oh, I cannot turn on this person, I have to defend them. And that is just, that is something that's just very unique to police unions.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's very true. Because again, that's where you don't get that transparency. That's where you get loyalty that comes before everything else. I mean, what was one of the biggest problems wrong with Trump and Trump's government, right? Mm-hmm. It's that all that mattered was loyalty. It's all about the relationships. It's all about what you do for me, the king, and what you do for the party. That you know, you're never going to get honest outcomes in a situation like that. You're never going to get justice in that situation. That all needs to change. It all needs to change massively. And again, this isn't about just like keep training them the same way, but, you know, add some sensitivity in there so they realize there's people different than them. That doesn't do it. We're training people, but like we're training police like they're warriors. We're giving them a mentality of they're the people out in the street. There are your enemies. They're to be subdued. We're not telling you what you're supposed to be, which are peacemakers. You know, the entire way we train people and the, you know, folks to take pride in a police department based on what it should be is based upon honesty and justice, and that you're serving in the best of your capacity, as opposed to, you know, it's the loyalty to my brothers and, you know, and to my department. That can't be what it's about. And all that stuff's been wrong, and we've perpetuated that cycle. No matter how much more diverse, even if they've become slightly more diverse or a lot more diverse, it hasn't changed the way we – so that can't be it. It can't just be about that. It has to be about the entire way we train these guys, the entire mentality they are infused with needs to be 100% different.
Yeah, this poor girl that was killed, and I'm going to – is it Makia Bryant? Is that how you say
it? I believe that's how you pronounce it, yes.
Yeah, Makia Bryant was killed in Columbus here. The other element we have to address is there is this really god-awful, ugly element of our society right now, where no matter what the cause, whatever the case is, she was wrong, and you know, and the cop was right. It was there is this blind allegiance where this conservative far-right element comes out of the woodwork. They're attacking her right now, and people, I'm seeing a lot of people come back. It's like, Kyle Rittenhouse, okay? She had a knife. Yep. Kyle Rittenhouse was loaded to the gills, and they were like, come on, fella, get out of there. Someone's shooting. And, you know, you look at George Floyd. And,
remember the guy at the church in Charleston, South Carolina?
Yeah.
That killed African black parishioners? They took the guy to Burger King on the way to, I mean.
There is a an incredible double standard here, but when you've got these cases like George Floyd, where even, I mean, I can't tell you how many conservative cops in Minnesota have been very vocal. It's like, they were very vocal right after that death. They've been very vocal since the verdict. That is not police work. That is nothing we want to be associated with. He was wrong, and he got convicted, and that's good. And they're praising the conviction. But yet you get these people that will watch a 9-minute, 29-second video of a man being killed live, and they basically, it's like, he deserved it. And that element, that god-awful, disgusting 8chan world of Q, yep, that comes on out, that is one of the worst elements of this current system we have.
Well, I don't think it gets any worse. I mean, they're Nazis.
Yeah, really.
They're the ones that Donald Trump emboldened, and parts of the far right of the Republican Party and the conservative movement, so that, you know, a movement entirely at this point that's run out of gas, seems to have no coherent ideology except for resentment and hate. So they this is their fuel. Because when you've taken a movement, a conservative movement, that at least had large chunks of it in the past that were based on, and this, now we're going well into the past, right? Mm-hmm. But a strong defense or balanced budgets or, you know, things of this nature that held them together. And all that stuff, they've shown that as generations have gone on, they either never believed in or certainly don't believe anymore any of that. And they fused with this white nationalist movement. All they have left is hating people that are different than them. So this is like catnip to them, you know. And mm-hmm. They're the worst, as you just said. They're just most despicable cretins in our society. They're the ones who should never be given a voice in any way to talk about any issue, any time. But they're out there. They're mm-hmm. allowed on social media to put out propaganda. They're allowed on what's ostensibly a news station and is not, in Fox News, that perhaps has done more damage to democracy than any entity in the history of the world. You know, they're on these gutter far right talk radio shows. And I mean, at least we're seeing some of the break, because the corporate types that used to fund all this stuff, and some of them are still trying to silently do it. But there's now a punishment, which is why you see all the Ted Cruz's and Mitch McConnell's crying, you know, about it, whining as they do, that that companies, whether it's for the right reasons or not, are realizing that anybody that needs to sell stuff to the population, that's a business to consumer type business, they can't be a part of that, you know. And so it's getting to that point where more and more that these folks are going to have to either disassociate themselves from it, or they're going to lose some of the support they had. But still, you still have far-right individuals, billionaires, you know, these sort of gross organizations, crazy business people like your friend Lindell up there, you know, and others that will keep supporting this garbage. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's dealing with those voices.
My buddy, Mike Lindell.
Worst pillow in the world, folks. The pillow's awful.
You
might as well buy two rocks and put them each side of your head.
There you go. A Cliff Schechter endorsement. Cliff Schechter, once again, if you like this, you're going to love Cliff Schechter's podcast, Unprecedented. You need to subscribe to that. That's on Patreon, Blue Am Strategies. Cliff, thank you very much. It's always a privilege chatting with you, my friend.
It's always my privilege to come on. So thank you for having me, pal.
Take care.
Have a great day.
Well, let's take a break. Come on back. Wrap up hour number one. When we do return, it is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, the morality of algorithms.
Machine learning algorithms are all around us these days.
They're being used.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is the Matt McNeil Show. You know, yeah, I can't, I cannot tell you how disturbing it is to see the second guilty gets called out in Minneapolis, Then all of a sudden, it's like, you got the worst trial in the history. Dude, did you watch the trial? I loved when the defense's star witness, basically the prosecution got the defense's star witness to agree with them like 9 times during their testimony. It didn't go well. And the reality is, and I think this is the important thing to remember, I don't know if these people like what the police are doing. I don't think a conscious man who's not a psychopath could look at what Derek Chauvin did to George Floyd and say, good work. I mean, only mentally broken people to the core would look at that. So what is it? And it's the fact of who they're doing it to. That's what they appreciate. They have no problem with it because it's black people being abused by the system. That's what they have no problem with. And you want to know the truth is, it seems to me that the police understand this and have done everything in their power to basically make sure that they themselves never cross that line and mistreat white people like they treat black people. Because they don't want to turn that disgusting element that's out there against them. But you just, it's racism. It's just racism. And they'll scream, no, it's not. If they're screaming, if they're red in the face screaming it's not, you know it is. Hour two of the show, that's up next.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. We got to head back up to Cook, Minnesota, and the editorial page in the Cook paper. We haven't been up there in a while, but because
Where is Cook?
It's north of Virginia, up on 53, heading for International Falls.
Okay,
I got it confused with a Tower, which is that's 169 heading over towards Vermillion, and then goes over to Ely. Cook is I feel sorry for Cook because they lost their Zups. Do you know what Zups is? It's not only a great way of saying Zups, you know, it's a greeting. Well, it's unintentionally Zups, but Zups is a chain of grocery stores in northern Minnesota, and they had a fire there at theirs. Oh. And you know, you're in a town like that there used to be, and you know, if you go to Virginia. There used to be a lot more grocery stores, little neighborhood grocery stores. There, Virginia, at least, you've got a few different choices. I think they got, Walmart and a Target, and they've got a Super One, and they got those things there. But in these smaller towns, these lifelines are Zups. And so that's kind of the grocery store. Not the biggest collection of food. And it's jammed in there. A lot of them are really jammed in there. And it's kind of one of those things is, do you have apples? Apples? You know, you're, okay, I'm sorry I asked. I didn't think apples were such an exquisite thing. And sometimes it's get that kind of thing. But they lost their Zups up there. But this is Cook. So this is North Virginia. Cute little town. Remember that? There's a picture. I was in Cook. There's a picture I posted of me with a Sasquatch, a wooden Sasquatch I found up there. And I took that. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
You found him.
Well, my son wanted to go hit some baseball, so I went over there. And by the way, if you ever had to play Cook, that my kid would have killed it. Charlie would have killed it. Because, I mean, every ball he hit was like over there. Their field was like 210. So it's like, what do you guys hit grounders here? What's the
210? Do you at least have a tall fence?
No.
You got to hit it over?
There's a swamp. So I can only imagine what you're doing is eventually filling in the swamp with baseballs so you can build on it. Anyway, there's a newspaper there. They do an editorial, and this dude is cray-cray. Yeah, I'm just going to read this as he writes it. This is the editorial. Well, Prez crazy Joe Biden and his running mate, Kamala, finished for horrible Harris, are making a mark on this country and the world. They have been in office around 100 days, and Joe has held one press conference where he read the answers to the questions. Kamala was given a new job handling the mess at our southern border. No, she went to California instead. Biden-Harris wanted to open up the southern border, tear down all of Trump's wall. Funny, funny story. He built like four sections of it, and it doesn't the new thing in Mexico. Have you heard this? In Mexico, the new thing is to go to one of the Trump border wall segments and get a picture of yourself on top of it, which apparently is not difficult to do because there's so many people doing this.
Would have known?
Trump product was low quality.
Wow. Be the greatest wall ever. Mexico's going to pay for it. Forget that part. Needless to say. Basically, Trump's wall. This would allow hundreds of thousands of illegals into the country with the hope that they would find a way to vote Democrat. Well, because your Republicans treat human beings so god-awful, yeah, they don't have a tendency of being loyal to the torturers. I'm just going to let you know that. It's not like, may I have another, please? Thank you. No, that's not how it is. And by the way, welcoming strangers in from strange lands. Gosh. That sounds familiar from somewhere. Welcoming in strangers from strange lands. Is that a Stephen King book? I can't remember. It's one of those. Clive Cussler? No. Oh, Jesus. That's right. Now that's who it was. Matthew, a hoot of a book, by the way. Anyway, I know they aren't supposed to vote if they aren't citizens, but that seems to be a moot point. Just making up stuff at this point. Don't let facts or the reality of the world get in your way, sir. The result of them opening our borders is to have more Obama cages packed with youngsters, more gang members from gangs like M13 coming in, more apparent terrorists from countries down south and overseas coming in. We got a big problem with terrorists from like Honduras or anything? I haven't heard about these. The terrorist sects from Peru. Is this a problem that I need to be aware of?
Well, didn't we have that product from Peruvian goat something?
Peruvian goats, Matt. Come on, Matt. Why aren't you talking more? See, it was my fault.
Maybe the market's tough down there and they have to resort to...
Why aren't you talking about Peruvian goats? This is it. Now the Peruvian goat herders have formed their own terrorist organization.
Exactly.
And they're infiltrating the southern border. Aha! It makes complete sense. Anywho, why not, he says. Might be the question to ask these illegals. Well, we hand them checks when they get in. Okay, so wait a minute here. M13, terrorists... and cages packed with youngsters is his term. They come in and we give them a check? Is that a specific border point thing? Can I go into Mexico coming and get a check? Can I do that?
It must be a pay window on the border wall.
Is that a drive-through service I could get? I'll just do a loop. Keep coming through. Another check. Thank you very much. I'm getting in line for another.
Just got to wear a different hat every time you go through.
Hi, my name is Mateo. California seems to give the most out, but Minnesota isn't far behind because, you know, when you look at a map, Minnesota right there on the southern border, you know? What do we give to Canadians? Is this the problem why we don't have more Canadians crossing our border? Is this the reason? Because we don't give out good enough stuff. You know what we should do? Wild rice pancake breakfast. Canadians welcome. Free, delicious wild rice pancakes. I'd cross an international border for that. Plate of deliciousness right there.
Didn't know the Canadians were into that sort of thing. But.
And they're baking up their garbage. No, we'll give them good American bacon. Come across, Canada. We missed you. We'd love to see you. Wear some flannel. Anyway, here we go. Back to the editorial from Cook. Once these illegals get in, they are put on buses and sent all over the country. This is a horrendous mess. This is the most coordinated damn thing I've ever heard in my life. So people come in. They get a check. Then they are bussed everywhere they want to go. Dude, how can I get in on this action? Biden-Harris did appoint border czar named Roberta Jacobson to handle this mess. She just quit after less than 100 days on the job. You can't blame her. Now, President Trump had his border problem under control. when he made a deal with the president of Mexico to keep the illegals there and have them enter our illegal entry ports. No, that never stopped. There were tons of people coming across the border, and there was no wall. And boy, if you think Obama's bad with people coming across the border, if Biden's bad with people coming across the border, have I got some footage to show you of a Mike Pence tour. Oh, my God. And they never screened any of the guards to see if they were, you know, they were they should not have been guards of children because of child sex acts in the past. Never did that. Remember that in Arizona they had convicted sex abusers, child sex abusers, guarding the kids. Yeah, what could go wrong? Anyway, going back to your rant. Biden-Harris ignored that. By the way, the head of our anti-terrorist group has said he wants to finish Trump's wall. I'm going to get out there. It's going to take a long time to build that thing. You know, I hope you got some construction ability. Meanwhile, Biden-Harris are fighting the coronavirus, and it appears Biden is trying to take credit for the new vaccinations. He went on TV saying he has a goal of 1 million vaccinations a day in the next 100 days or 100 million vaccinations. Sounds great, right? Of course, there might have been a million vaccinations being given every day so far, and the plan is to go 3 million a day. Everything about our new president isn't bad, though. What? Okay, wait a minute here. Why are you upset that Joe Biden is trying to give out a million vaccinations a day? Why is that a bad thing, you nutbag? Everything about our new president isn't bad, though. He does appear to be the best-dressed president in some time. His handlers are doing a great job cleaning him up and dressing him. Wow. Wow. And he's got a new one tomorrow. I'm very excited about tomorrow because I can only imagine what this enlightened individual in Cook is going to add to the repertoire in regards to the George Floyd murder trial, the trial of the murder of George Floyd, where Derek Chauvin was found guilty three times. I can only imagine what his take is going to be on that.
Ugh, just rage typing. I can just picture this guy in his basement just slamming the keyboard as he's writing all of this stuff out, just airing his frustrations, letting it all out.
So what will his editorial begin with? Will it begin with a fine, or will it begin with a okay, or will it begin with a, or like, I can't believe it. Well, it's going to be one of those, fine, okay, or I can't believe it. It's probably going to be one of those three.
That's a good pick. Yeah, one of those three for sure.
952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Enjoy. I'll put up the link to the Cook editorial. It will update. You have to read it tonight because it will update tomorrow with a new one. So, you wonder how the rural parts of this country are getting brainwashed into being absolute messes. I mean, seriously, you ask yourself that question: how in the world rural America is being turned into a cesspool of hate? Well, there you go. Because that's probably the main newspaper in that town, and that's probably the main argument that they're going to be making. Most things that's going to be you put out there, and until you go out there and you start having people who are legitimate news people, or frankly, until you have. You know, people who have an agenda, who are on the left, who start buying smaller town papers and start putting out a liberal paper that gets supported, well, you're going to have this. And right now, there's not a lot of people that are going out there. And plus the fact that I will say this, too. It is difficult because the minute all of a sudden you don't put out that far right, and I've worked in small town America, the minute you don't put out that far right agenda, you don't get the car dealership in town, you don't get the bank in town. They basically, I don't think one political point of view should be the only one said, but you know, come on, we're all good old boys up here, Matt. That sort of thing. I've heard that before, and all of a sudden the ad base is gone, and so you know you have to kind of weather through that. Michael is in Minneapolis. He wanted to chime in on Chauvin being in Oak Park Heights prison. Welcome on in, Michael.
Thank you. Years ago, I was a state employee and had the pleasure, if you call that, to go to every institution in Minnesota that was a prison, including federal, like Sandstone, okay, up in Duluth, the airport. And Oak Heights is the worst place you want to go as it relates to isolation. It's underground. It's very, very high security. So I guarantee you Chauvin isn't getting a, what do you want to call it, great treatment.
Well, being in the administrative hold, I mean, if you've seen this, how secure is that? How segregated from the rest of the population is that at that prison?
Very secure. It's the prison where you have more lifetime people there, and you have more weird people there, other than St. Peter.
Well,
it's not a great place to be.
Let me ask you this.
Especially when the door's locked behind you.
Let me ask you this. As a guy if you've seen these prisons, you know what it's like inside these prisons, and I don't believe in the drama of TV and how they present them in this. You know what it is. If Derek Chauvin went into the general population, how long is it truly? Would it be that quick that there's no way in the world he'd make it a day? Do you think?
I would say 2 days.
2 days. That's it.
If he was in Stillwater, Stillwater has a special division for people of age 65 or over. The regular cells that he would go into is cell block B, which is extremely general population, and you're going to have some violence.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be accidentally thrown off the third layer.
Okay.
So it's not a safe place.
Well, Michael, thank you very much. I appreciate your thought process here. Like I said, I get the point that you're looking at a situation where you want to get this guy to sentencing, but he's a criminal. We don't have to say allegedly anymore. He murdered George Floyd, second degree, third degree manslaughter. He murdered the man. He's a murderer. And just because he was a cop that does it, do we then now have to pay the extra cost it's going to take to put him into a special prison with special conditions to make sure that he's okay while he's in jail? I do not condone violence. I've actually heard a lot of people say, yeah, I want him in there. He's going to get beaten up. He's going to, nasty things. No. Being put into jail is prison, is torment enough. This guy's going to go to jail for a long time. And trust me, that is going to be, he's going to have to sit there with the weight of what he did for decades in the prison. That's a pretty decent punishment in my mind. But the reality is I don't know if it's necessary. And I think I can understand the black community if the black community starts getting upset and saying, wait a minute here, why is he being kept in a special conditions when black people wouldn't be kept in special conditions if they had done the same thing? And that's a fair argument that you have to make. 952-946-6205. If they have to do this to get him to the sentencing, get him to the sentencing. And then, my guess is going to be, it'll be interesting because the federal charge is still out there. And I wonder if he would go to the Department of Justice, DOJ, and say, I will plead guilty, just put me in a high secure prison that I can, would go there. Let me go there, cut a deal, and I will plead guilty all the way and spend the rest of my life in jail. I don't know. I don't know if it'd be the case, but I don't like the idea of, him getting a perk in prison just because he's a white cop. 952-946-6205. We'll come on back. Speaking of the Department of Justice, guess what? Merrick Garland, he's going to do some looking around in Minneapolis. We'll talk about that when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. 952-946-6205. Well, the legacy of Bob Kroll, that stenchiest smell in town, that's his legacy. Reminder, I want to remind everyone, didn't he put out a letter right after this saying that those four officers deserved their job back, including Derek Chauvin, who was just convicted on three charges of murdering George Floyd? Yeah, him. Let's not mistake anything. This is his police department. This is Bob Kroll's police department. And I have said for years, Bob Kroll clearly liked the power the police union got him, because he would show up in any, you know, he was showing up in campaign literature. He'd do campaign events, loved Donald Trump. It gave him a lot of power, and he loved the power that it gave him. Unfortunately, it was the thing, you know, that thing on the cars that says protect and serve? That never seemed to be an issue for him. He didn't really give a rat's ass about the people of Minneapolis-St. Paul. And this police department is a direct result of that policy and that attitude, that it was more important for the political narrative than to actually do what was right. And that little coward, Bob Kroll, that little coward ran away, retired and ran away, and is going to act like, I'm going to make it my mission to turn the words Bob Kroll into a swear word in this town. That no one, when you say Bob Kroll, they are thinking it's the worst thing on the planet. Because he is one of the main reasons the police are such a mess in the Twin Cities. Because it was never about protecting and serving. It was about personal agendas. And we talked with Cliff Schechter, when police departments across the country, strong-arming people. Say, you got, now that you're in the organization, you can't go against the organization. That sort of thing. So this is Bob Kroll. This is all his work. A little Delmonico beforehand. Remember, Delmonico was Pointergate. So part of this is Delmonico from beforehand. But this is Bob Kroll's deal. Well, guess what? Now we're going to pull back a little bit of the veil. Attorney General Merrick Garland, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, announced on Wednesday the Department of Justice would conduct a sweeping investigation into the Minneapolis Police Department to see if it has a pattern or practice of unconstitutional or unlawful policing. Ooh, I know the answer. Ooh, I can tell you. Thanks, Bob Kroll. Jackass. The news came a day after a jury in Hennepin County found former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin guilty on three counts of murder, manslaughter, killing George Floyd last May, setting off a wave of protests across the country. Yesterday's verdict in the state criminal trial does not address potentially systemic policing issues in Minneapolis, Garland said. The move by President Biden's Justice Department marks a return to an Obama-era priority of reforming problem police departments. Under the Obama administration, federal judges issued consent decrees for dozens of city police departments, including Baltimore, Cleveland, and Los Angeles, forcing them to change their use of force policies and other practices. As part of the investigation, the Department of Justice will examine if the Minneapolis Police Department has a pattern of excessive force, including during protests. Ask the media if it engages in discriminatory conduct and if its treatment of people with behavioral and mental health problems is unlawful. Garland says the federal government will review the Minneapolis Police Department's policies, training, and use of force investigations, and assess whether the department is effective at holding officers accountable. I said this during the entire trial, is that it would have been interesting to see if Derek Chauvin would have come on out and made the argument, well, yeah, the police policy told us this, the police department did, our training did, but, and this is just what he would be saying, this would be his defense. I'm not saying this is true per se, but it would have been interesting if he would have said, well, the police union told us we didn't really have to follow those rules, that we'd be covered if we screwed up, and so that those rules didn't matter, we could do what we wanted to. Because if he had used that as a defense, and I'm not saying it's true or not, I'm just saying if he would have used that as a defense, well, then all of a sudden it becomes a little bit of a trickier wicket to convict him. But he never did turn on the union, did he? If that was the case, I want to be very clear, if that was the case, he never did turn on him. But they clearly, the police and the Minneapolis Police Department are getting a different training than the manuals we see and the techniques that they are taught. So where is that coming from? Well, if it's not coming from the chain of command, it's not coming from the official police training seminars, if it's not coming from the manual, your two most likely choices are the union or the warrior training. Oh, warrior, we're a tough guy, warrior training. It's one of the two, more than likely. I mean, my guess, unless there's just some guy there saying, yeah, you don't have to do anything. And they're following that guy for whatever reason. But clearly there's someone there that's giving them some wrong information. Accountability is an essential part of building trust within the community, said Garland. A recent investigation by the Reformer found Minneapolis Police Department rarely disciplines its police officers for misconduct, and when it does, it moves slowly. A review of disciplinary files from the past decade revealed the department takes 539 days on average to resolve a case that results in discipline. That's almost 2 years, folks. The Department of Justice has already begun to reach out to community groups and residents to learn about their experiences with the police, Garland said, and will interview Minneapolis officers about the training and support they received. The investigation is separate from the criminal investigation Department of Justice previously announced in the George Floyd killing. If the Justice Department finds evidence of unlawful and unconstitutional policing practices, it can file a civil lawsuit to force the department to change its policies. Following the police killing of George Floyd, the state Department of Human Rights launched an investigation to determine if the Minneapolis Police Department discriminates against people of color. As part of that investigation, which is ongoing, the city of Minneapolis agreed to make immediate changes to its policing policies. You know, the reality is this, in Minneapolis Police, and if you're on the union, guess what? We're just starting the Biden administration. This investigation will go on and we'll find out the truth. And before any next president comes into office, you're gonna be changed. So I'm just gonna once again say what I've been saying for a few days here. If you're one of these police officers that's so upset because of the Derek Chauvin verdict, and you're like, I'm gonna leave. Bye. Bon voyage. Let the door hit your ass on the way out. If you are that angry at Derek Chauvin for being held accountable, then my feeling is you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. So, like I said, I don't know. It would have been interesting to see if Chauvin would have thrown the union under the bus. I'm not saying the union told him to ignore it, but it would have been an interesting defense. But regardless, clearly someone in that police department had been telling people that, and considering the reformer review, that there was, you know, there was a really loose guide to policy. And if it wasn't the management, and it wasn't Arredondo, and it wasn't the training, and it wasn't the manual, well then, it's down to either the warrior training or the union would be the two likely choices. Like I said, Bob Kroll's legacy, smell the funk. 952-946-6205. Got to be careful how I say that word. Oh, got to be careful. Bob, hold on. I'll get your call here after the break. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Brett, you noticed something about buses. Just putting a few of our stories together here.
Yeah, it sounds like some of our other viewers on Facebook pointed this out, but what is the deal with conservatives thinking that we all have like access to these fleets of buses that we can just use at any point to ship people to anywhere in the country?
Mortensen said he'd heard that dozens of buses of rioters were coming up to Minneapolis yesterday, dozens.
Which and is at least like 36 to 48, if yeah, not more.
I mean, now we're getting maybe even up to a good 60. then we hear that at the border that all you have to do is come across, courtesy of the Cook editorial page, you just got to come across the border, they give you a check, and they put you on a bus and take you someplace. That's just nice. I'm gonna go down there, man. I'm just, you know, yes, I gotta pay a little bit, but if I can get on like a certain border, then they can take me into Seattle or something like that. It'd be nice. Get some clams. I got a check. I have some money. It's the easy way to go with it.
You think when we're getting all these buses, are these like school buses or are we getting the nice, really fancy ones that you
Well, they can't be like, you know, like rock star tour buses. You know, that it's got so it's got to be a little
unless George Soros is funding it.
Well,
then maybe.
George Soros, you got enough money for a giant Jewish space laser, then you got the money for all sorts of things there. That's for sure. Maybe they are. Wow. That'd be great if that was the bus.
In comfort tour bus?
Oh my God, it'd be great. Beds and TVs and like a kitchen? God, I want to come in from the Mexican border, man. That'd be great.
And you get that pay window, too, when you get
and
to the...
And you get cash! Cash in hand! Wow. That's either a completely stupid, moronic idea that that's actually going on in this planet, or, man, we are lucky. We got to get down there and take advantage of this. You know, like I said, my name is Mateo. I am from Mexico City. I am a jar of marshmallow fluff, for God's sakes. I don't know. I mean, it is powder coming across the border. I don't think they're going to buy it. But still, a bus ride, a nice bus ride. George Soros bus ride.
And you get to the window and you get cash at the board. Win, 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 win all the way around.
Thank gosh. Thanks, Republicans, for pointing out what we're missing. Bob is in Minneapolis. Bob, thanks for holding. Welcome on in.
Yeah, I wholly support your effort to turn Bob Kroll into maybe the next worst slur, because I've been trying to do that with a certain C word and substituting Cheney, like you frickin' Cheney, instead. But here's something that didn't happen in the trial as well. They didn't throw the union under the bus, which this crap has been around since even before Bob Kroll. I can't remember the name of the first
guy. Delmonico was the guy before that.
That's him. Yeah. That's him. Where there are officers who nowadays, I think, nobody would blink an eye if they were just dismissed.
And remember that
he went to bat.
Delmonico was Pointergate. That was him trying to, you know, he got red-handed trying to politically smear Betsy Hodges at that point.
Come across that.
Go watch the Daily Show with Jon Stewart. They still have that clip up where he absolutely dogs Pointergate, and Delmonico is out there talking about how pointing a finger is a lethal gang sign. It's hilarious by all means. But please go right ahead.
So the other thing that Chauvin didn't do was make the claim that he was in fear for his life. Up until now, the absolute magic get out of jail free card. And I remember watching the entire panel, the directors of the union on TV, and what a bunch of lying wussies. The lady, I don't know if she's the one that's like the head cheese now, but she's about crying just thinking about that she might have to live in Minneapolis, where all these bad people are.
Oh, the drug dealers, the druggies and everything at the grocery store. Remember that? That was what she was implying. Can't remember her name.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, grow a pair or get out of the business, because they confuse power and authority. All they've got is authority. A lot of these guys are just wimpy bullies.
Hey, Bob, one of the things
you could pop him in the nose, they'd shut right
down. Well, no, we don't take no violence here. But, Bob, one of the things that was interesting we said is, now, once again, we are not saying this is the truth, but we're saying that if Derek Chauvin would have used that excuse, that the union had told him that, or his warrior training had told him that, I'm not saying that's reality, but if he had used that as a defense in the trial, that Brett and I actually I'm convinced that the second degree, they would not have gotten him on second degree murder. They probably, I think it's about a 50-50 chance on the third degree at that point, because it does present an interesting argument of who's really in charge of the police department, and that if he was getting conflicting, you know, orders on what was and what was not acceptable, well, that they, at least as his defense. I'm not saying that was really going on,
right?
But if he did that, would you agree that if he would have used that as a defense in his trial, then he might have been able to not gotten the guilty.
could be, but I seem to remember something, and I may be misremembering this. This happens more often these days. But when that type of training was banned by the city, meaning they wouldn't pay for it, I thought that Kroll used union money to pay for anybody that wanted to take it.
Well, I think
Do you
that they
remember that at all.
I think, and Bob, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. What I remember was, I think Kroll went out and brought these guys in. And then basically people had to attend on their own time, that there would not be, you know, you'd had to, that sounds familiar. I could be wrong. But, and Brett, I don't know if you remember this either, but after the Warrior training was canceled, that they couldn't do this, I thought the union was bringing in the Warrior training stuff, and that it was a case where they just couldn't do it associated with the police department anymore. Do you remember that? Sounds something like that.
I remember that controversy, and I could be wrong on this. Wasn't it Bob Kroll that said, well, we're going to have this training outside of the police department jurisdiction?
Something like that. Yeah, there was something like that. Bob, thank you.
He may have backed down from that, but he originally said that, though. That I'm pretty sure about.
Okay. We'll have to figure out. Maybe we'll have to take a look at that. Oh, my gosh. I love her. Flo is joining us. Flo in Minneapolis. Hey, doll. How you doing?
Well, I'm hanging in.
Okay, good.
I'm calling because in the midst of the verdict, we've lost track of the passing of a giant of DFL politics, a giant of Democratic politics, a world leader, Walter Fritz Mondale.
And Flo, you know,
he died on Monday when the deliberation went to the hands, and fortunately the hearts and minds as well of the jury. And then when the verdict was delivered, the public announcement of Mondale's passing was made. And, of course, because of pandemic considerations and everything that's going on, the honoring both at the state level in our capital as well as D.C., will be at a later date. But I'd like people to pause and reflect on the incredible leadership Fritz Mondale provided.
Now, Flo, I will agree with you. And this is one of those things, and I don't know if you heard yesterday, even in the 4 o'clock hour, as we got the verdict, I did take some time because of this. It's an icon of Minnesota politics. We talked about Jimmy Carter's comments, Joe mm-hmm. Biden's comments, Barack Obama's comments, Kamala Harris's comments. We did bring that up. And then we also, we post a lot about it and talked a lot about it as well on social media. You are absolutely right. Walter Mondale is someone that needs to be remembered. It's unfortunate that there is so much news going on right now, because it is very justifiable to talk about the Derek Chauvin trial and what happened there. But you're right. People should take a moment and remember what a class act, what a great politician, and what a great man Walter Mondale was.
Yes. You want good and decent and powerful, wise leadership. That was the man.
Absolutely. Flo, I've missed you. It's good to chat with you. Make sure you call back again, okay?
You betcha.
All righty. Take care. John is in Minneapolis. Let's get John on in here before we get into break. Welcome on in, John.
Hello, Matt. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Beautiful. Thank you, sir.
I'm thinking that Derek Chauvin cost the taxpayers of Minneapolis $27 million, that being the judgment that was paid to, you know, rightfully to the family of George Floyd.
Yeah. There is a, and also we should mention is, we should figure out where this this training that Chauvin was taking, where did it come from? Because, you know, I agree with you. I mean, the $27 million, that is money that we should be getting reimbursed from. And unfortunately, it's going to have to come from the city itself because of, you know, this crap police work. This is the legacy of the Bob Kroll police, is that they're cost, and this is not the only one that's going to cost. We'll have more. We had Justine DeMond in the past as well. You're going to get more of this until we clean this police department up.
Yeah, you could argue that he single-handedly defunded the police.
Unfortunately, John, I do appreciate the phone call. Thank you, and thank you very much for listening. I would say this is that when I saw Derek Chauvin driving his knee into the back of George Floyd the first time, I think I said you know, blank you, Bob Kroll, because that had his fingerprints all over it. Then we got the letter. Then we got the letter saying, these guys deserve their job back. How dare you, you pathetic coward, Bob. I wish I had the power to say, get the hell out of my state and never come back because you're not welcome here. I wish I had that power. A disgusting human being. And when you see the problems that are going on with Minneapolis Police Department, you pretty much can put most of those right at the feet of the union leadership and their unwillingness to change and their, you know, thin blue line over everything else mentality. And reminder, once again, a lot of this with Bob Kroll had to do with his political connections he was getting as the union head. He liked that power. My God, he was on the stage with Trump. He was on the stage with Trump gushing like he was watching BTS, man. Oh, find yourself someone that looks at you like Bob Kroll looked at Donald Trump, because I'll tell you what. Yeah, thank God Secret Service was there. He'd be all over him, man. All over him. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. Yeah, we have to figure it out. But like I said, this is everything you see with Derek Chauvin. It's the Bob Kroll Police Union. That's got its fingerprints all over it. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Crazy. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Richard, and when Mondale passed away on Sunday, I believe it was. We talked on Monday, I believe it was, about the time I met him, and then of course we did the praises there. I'm sorry if I didn't come across clear on that. No, we talked about Mondale on both days because, you know, and like I said, it's kind of one of those things where just looking at it as a news cycle, you know, you have so many things that are going on right now in Minneapolis, which are undeniable. I mean, trust me, there have been times where I've had stretches of 2 months where I couldn't find a thing to talk about half the time. And now it's kind of like, gosh, I wish I had 3 hours. Now I wish I had 4 hours to do this show because I could easily fulfill a 4-hour show. We did talk about Mondale on Monday. Thank you, Richard, for making sure I clarify that. We did talk to him on Monday. We talked to him on Tuesday. And Mondale was a great political leader. And like I said, the more I think about it, the more I'm happy that Minnesota was the only state that voted against Ronald Reagan in 1984. That's a badge of honor, in my opinion. Minnesota coronavirus update. Declines in COVID-19 hospitalizations in Minnesota reported testing positivity rate and offered hope Wednesday that the third pandemic wave was starting is peaking. Both key benchmarks of pandemic activity have been steadily increasing since March, with the positivity rate rising from 3.4% on March 2nd to 7.4% on April 11th, before falling back slightly to 7.3%. The 676 COVID-19 cases in Minnesota hospitals and patient beds on Tuesday also tripled the recent low of 210 in March, but that number declined slightly to from 686 on Monday. So that's going down, which is also a good thing. State health officials cautioned it's too soon to conclude the worst of the state wave is over the pandemic, which had caused a total of 7,044 COVID-19 deaths, 560,450 known infections in Minnesota, including 13 deaths and 1,611 infections reported on Wednesday. One final story I wanted to make sure we get to. We talked about this as well. The orc, David Osmak, the senator from out the Lake Minnetonka area, he is putting a bill out, a GOP bill criminalizing protest. Interesting. A person convicted of a criminal offense related to the person's illegal conduct at a protest, demonstration, rally, civil unrest, or march is ineligible for any type of state loan, grant, or assistance, including but not limited to college student loans, grants, rent, mortgage assistance, supplemental nutrition assistance, unemployment benefits, and other employment assistance, Minnesota supplemental aid programs, business grants, medical assistance, general assistance, and energy assistance. Wow, is that horrible! Dear Lord, you anti-Christian bastard. Dear Lord, are you a horrible human being? But that being aside, the orc Osmak himself, can I ask you a quick question about protesting? Because does this apply to all the loon balls that don't want to put on a face mask when they go into a store? Because let's see what his definition here is here. A person convicted of a criminal offense related to the person's illegal conduct at a protest or civil unrest. So are you saying that when some of these people go into a Target store and start screaming racial epithets because they're not going to wear this, and it's they go after the Asian community and anyone else that's around, and they cause some damage to the store, when we arrest them, are you saying those people as well? Because I can tell you right now, in outstate Minnesota, there's a lot of people David Osmak is just throwing under the bus. If we're going to also include face mask violations for, you know, COVID rules. I don't think David Osmak, I wonder who exactly David Osmak, the Republican from the Lake Minnetonka area, who is a big jar of marshmallow fluff, I wonder who the orc is exactly thinking about when he puts out these draconian punishments. Do you think it's a sports team celebration at a college? Probably not. Well, clearly I don't think he's trying to punish the white people in rural America saying, I ain't gonna wear no mask. Or how about the owner of the Alibi? Or the owner of the Interchange down in Albert Lea? Or any of the other restaurants that defied the state order? They have actually, some of these have been convicted. Are you saying none of them will qualify for any state aid anymore? I can't believe he's thinking about that either. So I wonder what it is about the George Floyd protesters that David Osmak seems to be targeting. Maybe it's just their creative signs. It could be that. Could be something else. Probably something else.
I'll just think about that overnight.
We'll put some thought to what in the world could David Osmak, the orc, be upset about with those protesters. It boggles the mind, doesn't it? Actually, not really. It's actually pretty easy to see. It's right there. Well, needless to say, we're done. We're back tomorrow. Have a good one. Until tomorrow, see ya.